For the installation of officers, we read out of Mark chapter 10. I want to stay in the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 12. I thought I was going to do it with music. That would have been great. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Mark 12, beginning with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that did ask him any questions. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have not come here to question you, but rather, Lord, to learn from you as you speak to us through your word. And so again, Lord, we would that you would hide your servant behind the cross and speak through these fallible lips of clay eternal truth, that which even if the heavens and earth were to pass away, your word, Lord, would go forward. And so anoint your servant. And Lord, open our ears to hear and to understand more deeply, Lord, your love for us and your desire for us, as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect this is maybe a familiar passage to you. What the Lord shares with us here, he shares also in Matthew's gospel, also in Luke's gospel. Some slight variation in how it has been recorded. And it also shows up to love the Lord your God with all in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. This passage to me, as I knew this is where the Lord wanted me to go early in the week, and a true confession, I argued with the Lord a little bit about it, but he wouldn't let me escape it. I wasn't really sure why until early this morning. My notes are scattered. They're all over the place. So if the Lord doesn't direct and guide this is going to be a complete flop here this morning. But I trust that he will. This passage ends with a very interesting thought from our Savior as he speaks to this scribe and he says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." I thought about that old saying, a miss is a mile. You know, if you miss something by a little bit, it doesn't really matter if it's a little bit, an inch, or it's a mile. If you miss it, you miss it. And how that God has been speaking this thought of us loving him with all that we have throughout Scripture. But it's interesting to note in this passage, as it is in the other two settings of which the Gospels record it, the question is a question of the law. You know, if you're not careful in reading your Bibles, you might misinterpret some things. These passages that we're looking at here and another that we will look as exemplary of this very setting, if read isolated from all other Scripture, you might come to the conclusion that our righteousness is held in keeping the law. You see, Peter said that no scripture is up for private interpretation. And I believe what that passage means is whenever you come to any particular verse or passage of scripture, You must read it in light of all Scripture to make sure that it makes sense to you. See, Pat read this morning before our worship service out of Galatians, and that is exactly right. Our righteousness is not held, our salvation is not held in the reality of how well we keep the law. For the truth of the matter is, as Paul would say, the law was given to be a schoolmaster, a teacher, to teach us something. And what it teaches us is that we are none of us good, none of us righteous. We can't keep the law. And James says, if you offend in one, you have offended in all of them. So certainly, Jesus could not be saying here, the importance of your salvation, Mr. Scribe, is that you keep all the law. Can't be it. For we are not saved according to works, but we are saved according to faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, that the perfect Son of God came, clothed in humanity, lived the same life as we live, tempted in all ways, and yet remained sinless. And the perfect Son of Man went to the cross to take upon himself the wrath of God for my sin, so that I might be set free from it by faith, believing that his atoning sacrifice was for me and was good enough for me. You see, it's never been about what we do. It's always been about what he does on our behalf. Aren't you thankful for that today? You know, when I used to read these passages, whatever gospel it was in, or even in Deuteronomy, well, especially in the Gospels, I guess, because in the Gospels it has always appeared to me that what Jesus was saying, being tempted, remember a Pharisee was tempting him, trying to trick him up, you know, what's the greatest of the laws? What's the first of the laws? And Jesus would answer it in this way. And I've always had the understanding in my mind that what Jesus was saying was simply summarizing the Ten Commandments, which you find in Exodus chapter 20. That he's just molding them into these two simple thoughts, love God, love your neighbor. And I think there's some truth in that, but I believe it's deeper than that. And this scribe is close to the kingdom of God, but if he misses it by an inch, he's going to miss it by a mile. And that's true of us too. If we don't understand today what Jesus is saying here, there's a possibility that you're going to miss out on an eternity with a God who desperately loves you. Because Jesus is not just simply summarizing the Ten Commandments. He is pointing, I believe, to something far deeper than that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Again, this will be familiar to you. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. Here's another story of an account of another man. This too now is included in all three of our synoptic gospels. And I think oftentimes if God recorded it once, well, that's certainly important. If he recorded it twice, we ought maybe to perk up our ears a little bit. And if he has called upon three different gospel writers to record it, I don't know, maybe God has something to say that is desperately important to us. And so he records this account here. We call him the rich young ruler. We get that title because you got to read all three of the gospels to get all of those points. But listen to what it says here in Mark's very brief gospel. It says, "And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him, and he asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and he said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions." You see, this is a guy, as I look at this, he's close, but he's going to miss it. He's going to miss it. There's something here that he is just missing. You know, and I look over all of this, and certainly what Jesus is talking about is loving your neighbor. These are the ways in which we show our love for our neighbor, that we don't commit adultery, and we don't kill, and we don't steal, and we don't bear false witness, and we honor our father and our mother. Those are those commands, 5 through 10, or 5 through 9, where God gives us a command on how to live in the Ten Commandments, right? Is that important today? Well, it's radically important. Things work so much better if we will sit and simply follow the laws that God has placed, the moral law of God. And above and beyond all that, even if you had never read the Ten Commandments, God said he has placed those commandments upon our hearts so that our own conscience will bring conviction upon us when we do those things that are against God's very nature and his very character. I was looking at this guy and I was thinking about him, you know, he's got all the advantage, doesn't he? And I got to thinking about it, he would make a great city councilman or a mayor. He'd make a great employee in a business, wouldn't he? I mean, you think about it, he is rich. That means he has that which he can use. You know, money is a real advantage, isn't it? And with money comes prestige in our culture, comes position. He is rich, he is young. Oh, how I am ever learning this fact, that the older I get, the less capable I am. He's got youth on his side. And Scripture tells us that he's a ruler. Now, most theologians don't think him a Roman ruler, but probably a Jewish ruler, for he refers to Jesus, O Master. So what I understand that is he is educated, he is equipped, he has prestige, he has power, he has influence. I'm telling you, this guy would make a great employee. He would make a great councilman in government because he is equipped to do those things. But Jesus said to him, he says, you're lacking one thing. Take all that you have and go and sell it and give it unto the poor and make, you know, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, and then take up your cross and follow me. Jesus says to him this thing, and I got to thinking about this, and I thought how wonderful Jesus is in his conversations. Because you know what he does first is he kind of sets the guy up in a very nice way. He says, you got all these qualities. Have you done this? He says, I have done this. I have. I've done from my youth on up. I've done this. And you can almost see him start to stand up and going, hey, I'm meeting Christ's approval. You know, we're like that. When we read through Scripture and we find something that we have yielded ourselves to, and you know, we're reading it and we go, hey, yeah, I've done that. And then we come to something else that we haven't done, and we're like, oh, I don't want to read that. I don't want to be told that I am short here. But Jesus kind of sets him up in a sense, and he says, have you done this, this, this? And the law says, and he goes, yes, from my youth on up, I've done this. And then comes the very revealing question. Because it really is a question. Now, Jesus puts it in the form, go and do this, but it really is a question because it's meant to make this gentleman look at himself internally and find a question there about what have I done with my finances. And Scripture says he goes away sad. When you're reading through this passage of Scripture, remember now, Jesus is not telling this young man, it is dependent upon you to keep all of the commandments in order to enter into heaven. That would stand in contradiction to Scripture. Therefore, what Jesus is doing is not talking about the specific mechanics in this man's life, what he has done, what he hasn't done. He's not talking about any of that. What he's talking about is, do you love me more than you love your money? And that is always the question in Jesus' mind. He is not negligent of the things that we succeed in or the things that we fail in. He knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows that we stumble. He knows that we fall. He has mercy that is exceeding our mind's ability to understand it, and His grace is so substantial that it goes beyond every one of our sins, that when I stumble at the law of God, He knows that. He doesn't excuse it, but He knows it, and He gives me room to repent and be right with Him on that. But what He wants from me is an expression of understanding what He has done for me. And so 1 John chapter 4 would tell us these beautiful things about, you know, it's not that we have loved Him, but that He first loved us and He gave Himself for us and all of this. And he talks about that. And you know what God's thinking is? That your response to Him is loving Him. Your response to Him, what He's looking for, is that you recognize that there is but one Lord, one God, right? And James says that even the devils know that and they tremble. So it's not about knowing of Him. It's about knowing Him as the one true living God who gave His Son a ransom for me so that He expressed that love to me so that I might in turn respond and love Him more than any other thing. To love the Lord my God with all my strength, all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, with everything I have that I express to Him love. You see, because if you read that passage in James, that even the devils believe there's one God and they tremble. It's smack dab in the middle of an exhortation that faith without works is dead and love that is not expressed is dead. And you can have all the gifts. You can have all the tools. You can commit yourself to work. You can commit yourself to serving. You can do all of these things. Even on a church board, you can be the most dedicated servant. But if you don't love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, you're missing it by an inch, but it might just as well be a mile. Because God is not a God that rewards according to performance. He rewards according to hearts that are tender and love Him. Hearts that are tender and love Him. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 6. This is all speaking with this rich young ruler about his treasure, his money, but we dare not narrow it down to simply money. It is anything that captivates your heart that is not God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? For no man can serve two masters, for you will either hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The Greek word for mammon is earthly treasure. It is anything on this earth. There is one God. He desires your adoration, your reverence, your love above all things. And then if you were to take a look at, for example, 1 Timothy chapter 6, familiar verses, I am sure. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, the rich young ruler, because he loved his money more than he loved Christ, went away sorrowful, having pierced himself through with that love. Dear ones, today, there's joy in serving Jesus. We are called to serve. And we are called to use our gifts, our abilities, for the furtherance of the kingdom, for the edification of his people, and for his glory. But if we are serving not out of a love for Christ, we have missed the mark. We have missed the mark. And I call upon you today, as I have been considering the massiveness of this passage to love the Lord your God with all you have, and how I used to think it was just a summary of the law. It is not a summary of the law only. It is the very motivation to hold to the law out of a love for the one who gave his life for us. Won't you please bow your heads? Our gracious Heavenly Father, you who doesn't look at the outward working of a man, but rather upon the inner man, upon the heart of a man, you who sees intently our desires and our thoughts, how foolish we are when we attempt to hide from an all-seeing God. That what you are most interested in is the condition, the softness, the love of our heart for you. I listen to our conversations, mine included, and I find that I often hear my priorities. How that sometimes, Lord, we prioritize things and we consider our family to be the most important thing. How that must grieve your heart. For our families are a gift from you. That when we consider what Scripture says is that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. When we consider that as a father gives good gifts to his children, how much more you give to us. And when we start to put those gifts on a higher plane than the gift giver, when we are more in love with the gifts than we are with the God who has given them, have we become those who worship the creature rather than the Creator? Is it possible, Lord, that we can love the things that you have given us so much that we have forgotten about you? And all you desire is that we would recognize your great love for us and that we would respond by loving you in like manner. And so, Lord, I align myself with the psalmist and for those who have written songs, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Lord, we need you. We need you to soften our hearts towards you. We need you, Lord, to instruct and to guide us and to understand, Lord, that you are worthy of our love. And as we fall in love with you, Lord, it will be that which will motivate us to keep your law. Not out of duty, not out of obligation, not out of discipline, but simply, Lord, as a proper response to a God who loves us. For we know you as our Father and we are your children. And how does your word say a child expresses love to a parent? By honor and obeying them. And so, Lord, speak to each one of our hearts today. If, Lord, there is anybody here today that knows of you but doesn't know you, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within me. Lord, if there's anyone here who is yet to receive you as their own, instruct and guide them to cry out to you, Lord, to confess that they're sinners and that this Savior who came and gave his life and rose again, this Savior, the name of Jesus, a name by which no other name can a man be saved. And they'll receive you and confess their need and welcome you into their heart and surrender themselves and begin to reciprocate the love that you have shown for us that they might love you as well. Lord, I desire that each and every one of us would understand that there is one God and that we are to love you with all that we have. May it be said of your people that we love the Lord Jesus, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.